Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
God is so good. He's so good. I'm very thankful for God and for all that He does. I'm thankful for this church. I am thankful for my husband and my 11 children. And I'm thankful to be here today. I was on my way to Anchorage yesterday and came upon a accident and cars were all stopped, and I went to go stop as I came around the curve at 65, and I wasn't stopping. And my Suburban lost control, and I just began to pray and call on the name of Jesus. And by a miracle, my car that was out of control just literally stopped and started going straight. But I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw behind me cars that were not getting straight, crashing into each other and coming straight for me. There was about six or seven of them, and I just prayed. And it was the hand of God that kept every single one right there. So I'm thankful to be here today, because it could be a different story. I'm thankful that those that were behind me that were crumbling up as they were crashing into each other was no serious injuries. So I'm very thankful. Today, as I was worshiping, I just was thanking God. Thank you for your hand on my life. Thank you for stopping my car yesterday. Thank you that I'm here today and I'm able to release the message that you've given me to share. So tonight, as you stand and turn in your Bible to Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 5 and read through verse 11. And this is the New King James Version, because I like the way it's put. But it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God, we thank you for your word that is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And God, we thank you that today, as your word goes forth, that God, it would touch every heart. That, Lord, you would open our ears to hear what you have to say tonight. I pray, Father, that you would use me as your vessel. That, God, you would allow your word to go forth as you called it, even for this day, to go forth. We give you free reign to have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we read in this scripture that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the likeness of man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he had what it took to fulfill that which God the Father had need of him to do. He came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He healed the sick, raised the dead. He accepted those that didn't even recognize him or honor him in his own hometown. He received rebukes, he was persecuted, and he went to the cross and rose again. He did everything that God required of him to do, and he fulfilled it. Tonight, I want to encourage you to do the same. Tonight, I hope that this word comes as an encouragement that you can do what God's called you to do. Pastor Tim had a great message this morning. And you know, as he was preaching and as I was thinking about my message and I was thinking about the messages we've been having the last week, it's like God's trying to get our attention. God is trying to get our attention. There really is a plan and a purpose for us. And if you go back and listen over these last few weeks, there's been a theme in the messages that God has been giving the pastors, those releasing the word. And so tonight, I just want to add to that which has already been going forth. And so tonight, my message and what I believe is a word from the Lord is that God is pointing us out. And he's saying, I want you. I want you for the work of my kingdom. I want you. In 1971, the U.S. Army came up with a poster and a slogan with Uncle Sam pointing, I want you for the U.S. Army. And as I was getting the title for this message, that's what I saw. I saw God. Although Uncle Sam looked a little bit like, I don't know, to me, my perception, he looked kind of mean. Like, I want you. He had like this frown on his face. But I feel like God is looking and he's got this big grin saying, I want you. I want you for my kingdom. I want you to do the works that God has, that I have created you to do. I want you. I've called you. He's pointing us out. And so I hope this message encourages you that you have a calling over your life. Every single one of us has a calling over our life. In Philippians 2, we read about, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. And I like the Amplified version because it says, have this same attitude in yourself, which was in Christ. Have the same attitude within yourself that was in Christ. You know, Jesus did not let anything deter him from who he was. He didn't let anybody change who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. He knew his calling. And nothing was going to change that. We as people, we rise and we fall. So there's times we're going to rise and there's times we're going to fall based on the character of thoughts that we entertain in our mind of who we are. If you believe that you're a failure, then you're going to fall. If you believe that you're a victor, you will rise no matter what. So who do you believe you are? How do you perceive yourself? Where does your identity lie? Because that's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. We came out of a powerful power conference. For some, the word that you receive from the prophet is still fresh in your mind. But that word is going to only be just a word if in our minds we think, well, that was a word and, you know, they had to say something good and encouraging to me, but really, you know, I've never really amounted to much, so I don't know if that word is really gonna, you know, it was a word. Or we're going to take that word and we're going to say, you know what? God has spoken to me and I'm going to hold on to what God has spoken. And that no matter what people say, no matter how people perceive me, my identity is in Christ and I'm going to stand on this. I'm going to be a victor. I'm going to be that which God has called me to do, no matter what the situation, the circumstance, those in my corners, those not in my corner. You know, for some of us, we don't know what to think of ourselves. There are people that really don't know their true identity. They have yet to find who they really are. And really, the way to find who you are is to find Christ. It's to find Christ, our Creator. Last Tuesday, I was preaching at Transformations. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., 1701 North Lucille. You don't want to miss it. And I was preaching at Transformations, and I was telling the congregation about God forming them while they were still in their mother's womb. That God the Creator formed us while we were still in our mother's womb. And He wrote a promise. He knew the calling on our lives when we were still in our mother's womb. He had made up His mind who we were going to be. We just need to line up with it and believe it for ourselves. We just need to step into that and believe it. You see, God shows us in His Word with the right mindset, with the right identity and perception of who we are, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. Nothing. You know, maybe God has spoken to you, hey, you know, someday you are going to have an orphanage. And maybe you're saying, nah, how is that possible, God? I'm in Alaska. I'm barely making it paycheck to paycheck. What do you believe? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what God has spoken to you? Have you made up in your mind, God has chosen me. I'm a holy nation. I'm a royal priesthood. And if God has said it, guess what? I'm going to march on. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. And I know that God, who makes nothing impossible, if He said it, it's possible. If it's in His Word, it's possible. But if in your mind you're saying, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to work. There's just no way. It probably is going to be no way because you've made it up in your mind. Second Corinthians 5:15 in the New King James Version says, therefore, if anyone, not just some, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One of the first things that we need to do is to recognize that when you gave your life to the Lord, you became new. And if you haven't tonight, or maybe you fell back in those old ways, we'll give you opportunity at the end of the service. But it says that the old has gone. You are a new creation. And part of being used by God, part of stepping out in that, is that you have to recognize you're new. The old is gone. If I was still resting on the old me, I would not be standing here today. I had to recognize I'm a new creation. Though I was stained and blemished, I'm no more because I'm a new creation. I can no longer house those negative things, those negative characters, because I will fall if I do. I have to begin to house and take in the new woman that God has called me to be. I have to change my perception of who I am and who lives on the inside of me. We have to get rid of the old way, the old thinking, the old man. Are you still having the same old furniture in your temple? Pastor Tim talked a little bit about this morning about our temple and taking care of ourselves. When God's trying to put in new furniture, are you trying to hold on to that old furniture, that old man? Because if you are, that character, that old man will keep you at a place where you always fall. He'll occupy the space that God's trying to occupy. Because God's furniture says, you're more than a conqueror. God's furniture says, you're an overcomer. God's furniture says, you're the head and not the tail. But if you're holding on to the old man, he's going to say, oh, you're a loser. You're still that addict. You're still that failure. You're still that bum. It's time to evict. And when you evict, you put up the sign, no vacancies. This is the house of the Lord. This is his temple. He has chosen me. He wants me for his kingdom purposes. He wants me because he has a calling on my life. So there's no room. There's no room for the old man. There's no room for the past. I'm looking forward, not back. Secondly, in Romans 12, 2, in the New Living Translation, it says, do not copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't be a copycat. Don't be a copycat. God created you. God didn't create robots. God's not in the business of cloning. God's a God who has individualized every single person. And just like a puzzle, none of the pieces are the same. Every piece has a different shape. But when it's connected together, it creates the picture. And you've got to connect the puzzle pieces just right. You can't force. I've seen kids where they try to force the piece and then it pops up off and then they try again. No, every piece has its own shape and fits in a certain spot. The same is true for us. God individualized us, but yet when we come together to create the body of Christ, his kingdom goes forward. His purpose goes forward. You don't have to copycat your neighbor. You don't have to try to clone yourself to be just like Pastor Daniel. That's the only way. I have to be just like him. I have to wear the same clothes as him. I have to act like him. I can jump up on chairs. I won't do that. Somebody had said earlier, hey, you should just jump off the stage like Pastor Daniel. I won't do that because I'll probably fall or something will not land right or, you know, I can just see it. It won't be good. God uniquely designed me. He uniquely designed you. You don't need to be a copycat. You don't need to try to fit into somebody else's identity We don't need identity theft here. Because God's given you a specific identity. He says, I want you. And he calls you by name. Because you're an individual person, he wants a relationship. You're an individual person he wants to use to further his kingdom. If God didn't desire to have an individual relationship with you, he would have made us like robots. That the minute you got saved, you'd be like one of those cartoon shows where you have these villains that try to take over the world. So they, you know, they do these different things and then they push a button and everybody's eyes change colors and they're all like this and they're just walking. And you've got some little villain in a little thing controlling them and making them do things. I watch too many cartoons. And these, you know, they're making them do things and they're all like, ah, yeah, you know. That's not God. When you get saved, it says right here in Romans 12, he trains you. He gives you the very thing you need. He transforms you and he molds you. He doesn't just flip the switch and you become like everybody else, robotic. No, he individually touches you. Danielle, as I was prophesying over her, she may minister in a totally unique way that doesn't look like the book, but God will use her. We've often talked about Pastor Bruno and his notes and how unique. We've seen his notes. I don't know how he preaches on those notes, but God individually designed him. When he said, I want you, Pastor Bruno, he created him and designed him and put a calling on his life and gifted him in a unique way and is using him profoundly. Somebody may come up and look at my notes and go, how do you even preach off of that? Because God individually transformed me, deposited what needed to be deposited in me so that I could be used for his kingdom. He will do the same for each and every one of you. The only thing is, he says, we can copy one person and one person only, and that is Jesus. You see, we have to daily have the mind of Christ. We have to daily go before the Lord. Renew my mind. Help me to see me as you see me. Help me to know who I am as you have called me to be. We need to know his will. We need to know his purpose, and we need to know his plan for our life. In Colossians 3:10, it says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. It's okay to copy him. It's okay to be like him. And we go on to Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Long ago, way back when we were in our mother's womb, he was planning it. He was making a way. Even knowing some of us, most of us, would slip up, he was making a way. The door is still open for us. He's still saying, I want you. I want you. I want to use you for my kingdom. I want to use you in the calling I've put on you. I want you. Even if nobody else does, I want you, says the Lord. So tonight I want to look at three men who God pointed out. He pointed them out and said, I want to use you. And they didn't think they were usable. Because oftentimes when our mind is stuck in that old man and we haven't cleaned house, we think, well, God, you can't use me. I'm not even usable. What can I do? I can't sing. I don't preach. I don't even like standing in front of people. What good am I? I can't be used. But you see, God has, he has something specific for each of you. He has given you a gift, even if you think your gift doesn't make a difference. It does. So the first person we're going to look at here is Mr. Moses. And Moses thought he was inadequate. We often have heard of the story of Moses in the burning bush. And in Exodus 3, God speaks to Moses saying, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come to rescue them. So now go, O Moses. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And here goes Mr. Moses. He begins to argue with God. He reveals his mindset, his perception of himself, his insecurity. I'm not usable. Who am I that I should go? He asked. And God responded, I will be with you and promise to bring you to worship on this mountain. And here we go again. I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. I'm unusable. That's what Moses is saying. I'm not usable. He was insecure. He was looking at his flaws instead of looking at the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And God responds, who gave human beings their mouth? Oh, snap. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you and teach you what to say. Maybe that's been some of us. When God said, I want you to go tell that person I love you. Jesus loves you. God, I'm not good at He's saying, I gave you your mouth. I give you the gift to even speak. Just go. Trust me and go. People don't believe me when I say that when I got saved and first came out to the valley and was at the church I was at previously, I was on the worship team, but in reality, I was one of those people that, like, at big events, I was like the chameleon. I wanted to, like, just stand in the wall and blend with it. I didn't want to be in the spotlight. I didn't want to be at a microphone and speaking. And I remember being asked if I would be willing to join the youth group and be part of the youth team at my previous church, and I said, sure. And I'll never forget the night, it was after a service, and the pastor came up and he said, hey, I want you to start preparing a message because I really feel like the Lord wants you to preach. I like being the chameleon on the wall, not the person in the spotlight. But you know, the Lord said, trust me, I'm going to give you what to say. I'm going to help you. I had to step out. I had to remove that piece of furniture that said, don't get up there. You're going to flop. You're going to mess up. It's going to be ugly because you're the person that blends in with the wall. Sometimes we just need to step out. When God says, I want you, we have to trust him that if he wants us, obviously he sees something in us. Obviously he's the one that equips us. We wouldn't be walking, talking, breathing, seeing. We wouldn't be doing anything if it wasn't for him. So if he says, I want you to do something, He's on the line. He's on the line. We just step out literally as vessels and he does the rest. See, Moses thought he was totally inadequate. He was not the guy. But like that Uncle Sam poster, God was saying, I want you. And eventually, he led the people of Israel to freedom. Another guy here is Gideon. Now, Gideon thought, he's too weak. I'm too weak, God. You can't use me. I'm unusable. I'm just too weak. So God sent an angel to Gideon, who was threshing wheat in secret so the enemy couldn't steal it. And when the angel appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now here is a man who thought he was weak, yet the angel is speaking to him, mighty warrior. All right, Gideon responds, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? The Lord has abandoned us. The angel persisted, go in strength. You have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And we go on to read in Judges 6, Gideon's reply. How can I, little old me, save Israel? That's my input. That's not in the Bible. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Now the angel has already told him, called him out, mighty warrior. But his perception of himself, his mind was set on the fact that he was weak, he was insignificant, and he could not do it. But God's pointed him out. God's told him and spoken over him, his calling. You're a mighty warrior. And so here the Lord answers, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. You see, Gideon felt too weak for the task that God had given him. Twice he asked God to give him a sign to prove his power and his gracious answers. But we see later on that Gideon, who was initially afraid, I'm too weak, I'm too feeble, I can't do it, became one of the mightiest warriors. God says, I want you. I want you. I want you, Sarah. I want you, Mike. I want you, Jules. I want you. I want you. Just as you are, because I'm going to train you. I'm going to transform you. And the calling I put on your life, you will fulfill. The calling that I set in you when you were still in your mother's womb, I will see it come. I want you. The last person we're going to look at is Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt like, well, I'm not ready. How many of us maybe have said that? I'm not ready. I'm not ready to lead a life group. I'm not ready to be an assistant. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not equipped. When God points and says, I want you, he'll get you ready. He'll equip you. He will equip you to do the work he's called you to do. Because most of the time, it's already in us. And it's when we step out that it gets activated. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's answer, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Jeremiah felt inadequate to be a prophet. See, he believed God. He did believe God, but he doubted he could use him. He doubted himself. His perception of himself was distorted to the point that he felt he wasn't ready. But the Lord encouraged him, and he encourages you tonight. Don't say, "I am too young." You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. God then touched Jeremiah's mouth and told him he would give him whatever words he needed. This same God that spoke to Jeremiah is the same God that speaks today. For some of you, this is really resonating. Some of you young people, God is not looking at age and saying, "Well, you must be at this age, and at this age, then you can." God calls you when he calls you. Whether you're young, whether you're old, God calls you when he calls you. It says that for 40 years, Jeremiah served God, and he warned his people, serving as one of God's greatest prophets. Can you relate to any of these? Maybe there's something else in your mind, in the back of your mind, that has kept you from stepping out. For some of you, maybe the prophetic words you got this past weekend at the Power Conference, you're still trying to wrap your mind around it. Still trying to see, is this really something I can do? God tonight is saying, "I want you." You know, another army slogan that came out, I think it was in 1980, was, "Be all that you can be." You know, the army was trying to encourage and motivate people to enlist into the U.S. Army. So they used these slogans that would, like, "Oh, they want me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to enlist." Or, "Be all you can be? I want to be all I can be." Tonight, there's an army that you can enlist in. God wants you. And God wants you to be all you can be, because he knows that there's a great plan. He knows there's a great calling on your life. He knows that even when the enemy tried to take you out, that he did what he needed to do to keep you because of the calling he had on you, because of the lives that you're gonna touch, because of the difference you're gonna make. Some of you sitting in this room, though you may not see it, you may not understand how can that possibly be possible, some of you are called to be a part of the vision of this house, the 1,200 extensions. There are people in this room that God has brought to King's Chapel. And he said, "I want you. I want to raise you up. I want to send you out. I want to use you to bring glory to my name. I want to use you to be a hand extended from heaven. I want to use you to be a prophet to the nations.
I want to use you to preach and declare my word. I want to use you as an evangelist to go and evangelize the land. And even as I'm saying that, there's some of you that's like, oh, I hope she's not talking about me. I don't know. If that's stirring in you, and you've got that, ooh, I don't know. That's probably because God's put that in you to do it. You know, sometimes when we do things, when God picks us and we do things, the minute we step out, see, he's been stacking up the wood. He's been putting all the fuel, the lighter fuel on it. And he's got the match. And it's like literally the minute you step out, hey, Pastor Tammy, do you need a house for a host family, the host of life group? And God strikes that match and sets you on fire. Hey, I want to join a team. Strikes that match and sets you on fire. Something that me and Eric share oftentimes, we teach the second week of Discover Track. And something we often share is he'll share, and sometimes I'll share about the time we went to a missions trip to Chile with a group, Pastor Gil and Pastor Rosie, and it was Dr. David, Pastor Tammy, and a group of us went to Chile. We had a yes in our spirit. We didn't even necessarily know what we were signing up for, but we had a yes in our spirit. Sure, we'll go, we'll do whatever you need us to do. Only to find out, oh, you guys are going to be in these rooms and you're going to be prophesying over people. What? Yeah, we're going to put you in this room and the people are going to come and you're going to prophesy over them. Oh, okay. We're just like, oh, okay, yes, yes, we have a yes in our spirit, yes. But can I tell you that as we stepped out, God put a fire under us. And here we were, well, some of us, Pastor Tammy, myself, Eric, we didn't even speak Spanish. We had like interpreters. And we're like, okay, I hope this is like resonating. We're just gonna prophesy. And we're prophesying and the interpreter's like interpreting. And we're just like, I hope this is ministering to them. We don't even know. And it was later. You guys just don't know how much the Lord used you. You don't even know these people, but you were speaking things right on, right where they were. Things that there's no way you guys would have known. And we didn't even know if we were even talking right because we didn't even speak the language. But we stepped out and God struck that match and set us on fire. And we were ready to do the next thing. What else you guys need us to do? We're ready. We're on fire. Nerves are gone. Anxiety gone. Being afraid gone. We were on fire. We were ready for the next task that the Lord had for us. And that is available for you. Sometimes we got to do things when we're still afraid, but we step out and trust God. And I'm telling you, he'll set you on fire to the point that you'll be like, hey, I'll do 2 life groups. I'll go on a missions trip. I'll do whatever it is you need me to do, Lord, because I'm on fire for you. I'm so sorry for all the times I was afraid and I made up excuses to not step out, but I've stepped out now and I want to be used by you, God. Use me, Lord. Use me. You don't know until you step out. And when you step out, I'm telling you, you will not regret it. The only regret you may have is, wow, why didn't I step out sooner? why didn't I go to Pastor Kimmy sooner and say, I'll do a service, a couple of services in kids ministry. I'll do it. Because you don't know. You don't know until you step out, but you won't regret it. I'm going to share a quick testimony from this last Wednesday, and then I'm going to close. So the Lord spoke to me and my husband to, we're like a chunk, not a little bit, we're a chunk of the kids ministry. And so, when Pastor Kimmy was like, we need children workers, and we were like, we're going to go and we're going to sign up for one Wednesday a month, and we're going to go help in that kids ministry and be a part of what's going on back there. This Wednesday, I'm going to try to do this without like fully falling apart. This Wednesday, we had two little girls in our class. And we were in there with Miss Manuela, who's amazing. And she's telling us how, they're nonverbal. They don't talk, and so they're the sweetest little girls. And the one little girl would come up and hug and just as sweet as can be. Well, the one older sister goes over while Eric's reading a book to the kids, and she begins to point to the pictures and say them. This child said every single thing that he pointed to, nonverbal. And she got them all right, but she was nonverbal. You see, sometimes when we step out, when God says, I want you, you don't know the impact that you'll make for the kingdom. And the beautiful thing is when that mom came to pick up her kids, I got to encourage her. See, it wasn't just about her daughter. The mom got touched. The mom got encouraged and walked out with her head high, touched and amazed that her daughter was verbal. I encourage you tonight. God's pointing and saying, I want you. I want you. I want you for my kingdom purpose, for the calling I've set upon your life. For you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are an ambassador of Christ.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.